Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. I have another great show tonight. I mean, we're talking great show. Another new guest, and of course, I have my co-host Al with me tonight. And you know, Natalie really loves having Al because then she doesn't have to talk as much. But we all know that she could handle it all, anyways. But I don't really like to do just that. But anyways, I want to make some announcements. The latest issue of mysticlivingtoday.com is up, of course, with everything new in it. I'm already getting stuff for the June issue, if you can believe that, and this is May 8th. I mean, which is wonderful for me because I really love doing it because I can be really creative. And also, Tony, my webmaster, informed me last week, this was a surprise, that he has one of his guys working on the new version of the magazine that will actually be like a magazine. You know, it'll have a cover and it'll have features. And I'll be able to, I'm going to have a lot of fun with that one because I've got so many ideas. That was my idea a long time ago. And I said to him, well, why didn't you tell me? He said, because I wanted to surprise you. You always seem to know everything. You always think of everything. And you're always ahead of me. So that's coming. And also Stars with a Z, psychics.com, of course, is up, running, doing well. He's working on something for that. It should be ready probably in maybe a couple of weeks. It just takes a long time when you're doing an app that you're going to put in the Google store, in the Google App Store. So I'm really excited about that one. That's going to be great because what that will do for all of us and those that work for me will bring us to a place where a lot of people don't even know we exist. And, you know, that opens another door right there. So you've got to always keep freshening up your site. You've got to be adding new things, and so that's what's going on with that. So without further ado, don't you like how I say that? I'm going to bring in Al, my co-host for this evening. Al, how are you doing?
Doing really well. How are you doing? And thank you for having me.
Yeah, always. And then I'm going to bring in our lovely guest. I'm going to call her Reverend Lorena Pyle. Now, she's probably going to say, oh, Natalie, don't say that. But that's what you are. So, Lorena, welcome to the show. The show is all about you, what you do. I have questions already, of course. Does that surprise you? And I'm sure Al, because you're a friend of Al, he's probably got a lot of things that we can discuss. And you and I, of course, have talked a few times, so we're not new to each other. And so welcome to the show. I have it set for 90 minutes, and who knows, maybe we'll go 90 minutes, right? You just never know. But anyways, welcome. And how are you tonight, Lorena?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. And I just want to say thank you so much, Natalie. Such a blessing, and I'm honored to be on your show. And I want to say hi, Al. I love you. It's so nice to be here with you, and it's just a terrific privilege.
Well, you're most welcome.
Thank you, Lorena.
We love having you. Al, I'm going to have you start this off because Lorena is your longtime friend, and I want to open the door for her to speak about all this. And this lady does a lot. I mean, she does a lot. And she's a pastor. I think you're still pastor of the First Spiritualist Church. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes.
There you go.
I'm the pastor.
Okay, that's a good place to start. Okay, Al.
Cool.
Take it away.
Well, okay, Lorena, so I met you 7 years ago. How did you arrive to be who you have become now?
Well, I have a book that was put out into the media in 2015, which will describe a lot about what transformed in my earlier life. And I had a very, very difficult childhood. I'm not going to get too much into it, but I'm just going to say that me, like many, many, many other people who have had very troubled youth who suffer from PTSD, I was not willing to accept that title and that pain for the rest of my life. So my search I've always been very spiritual. Ever since I can remember, my questions about heaven, God, Jesus, life, me, why am I here, have always been there. But after suffering through the issues that I had suffered through, my search became much deeper because I want to know why I went through it. I want to know, why am I here? And most importantly, I wanted to know, is this going to hurt like this for the rest of my life? Am I always going to have no self-worth? Am I always going to have such high anxiety? Am I always going to be debilitated by nightmares? Am I always going to be so broken and so damaged that the only way to operate is to take a handful of medicine a day? This is when my real journey began. The journey of me, the searching of how do I overcome and how do I heal. My journey began with meditation. I was in Hawaii, and I was on the beach, and I was looking out at the ocean, and that song came to my mind that I believe it came out in like 1978 or 77, and it was, I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me. And I prayed, and I looked up in the beautiful blue Hawaiian sky, and I said, I can't do this anymore, God. I can't live like this. I can't deal with this pain. If you want me to be here on this earth, then I need your help. Send me something that I can use in my life so I don't have to seek help with medicine or therapy or anything, because this is not a good quality of life. And mind you, I had everything to be happy about. I had my gorgeous 3 children at the time, married to an amazing man, a beautiful home on the beach in Hawaii. It's like everything was there, but I was so empty. I was so broken, and I was so alone. And you know what happened? The next day, I used to love to go to the thrift stores in Hawaii. You pick up all kinds of stuff. You could only imagine. And I was walking through an aisle, and a book literally fell off of the shelf in front of my cart. Like, I had to go and move the book so I could push my cart. And that book was titled Ask Your Angels. And it was $1.95. That was the beginning of my metamorphosis, I would say, my big transformation. I took that book home, and it had multiple meditations in it. And I thought a whole different thing about what meditation was like. But, you know, I studied the book. I got a tape recorder. And as much as I did not like the sound of my voice, I soon began to love my voice, because I read these meditations, and I read them very slowly so that when I meditated, I could meditate to my voice and walk through it. Literally, I taught myself the art of meditation. Then I started studying about Native Americans and how they connected with the earth and with nature. And then I wish I could say that that was all it took, but it really wasn't. My journey of searching started to unfold more. It was a real process. I had to be very diligent about what I was doing. And, you know, I could tell. My goal was to rid myself completely of all medications. My goal was to be happy, to be in love with not only the things around me and people, but I wanted to like myself, let alone love myself, because 10 years of brainwashing and being told that you're worth nothing, and if anybody or anything is messed up, it's your fault. You know, it isn't just the 10 years of, like, from 4 to 14 that it all got impounded in. But once I was away from that abuse, I continued the abuse. I continued to tell me all the things that they told me. I continued to beat myself up. And, of course, you know, I loved my children, and I always told them how amazing they were and everything. But, unfortunately, they saw how terrible their mom was to their mom. And if there's anything in my life that I could change and take back, or if there's anything that I could do over, is I would definitely would have liked to have known who I really was before I had children. Because now that I know who I am, I can not only demonstrate that love with myself, but I can demonstrate it so much better with everyone else. But then my spiritual side says, oh, honey, don't do that to you. Don't feel guilt and don't beat yourself up. Spiritually, you know that your children chose you as their mom for a reason. And the journey that you have gone through, they have, on a soul level, chose to go through it with you. And as I reflect on that truth, and I see and know who my kids are now, and I have 8 kids in total, 5 boys, 3 girls, 3 are my stepchildren, but I love them so very much, just like my own. But I have to tell you, this journey that my children and I have taken together, and watching how broken their mom was and where she is now, I can say I'm so blessed that I have loving, kind, considerate children who always put other people's feelings and emotions not before theirs, but at the forefront, so that they have respect for people and they have respect for people's feelings, and they're very kind and they're all successful. And so when I look at that, I don't know how it happened. All I can say is God has been very good to me. And, you know, I'm so blessed now, because in this journey, I can say that I know that I know. I am so close to God. I feel that God is the most right thing in my world. And I think that's because I'm the most right thing in my world, and I never had that experience. So on this journey, yes, I do not take any medications. Am I completely healed? I'm going to tell you truthfully, it's a work in progress. I always am very mindful of my thoughts. I'm mindful of how others act towards me, and I always take complete, what is the word I'm looking for? I take complete accountability for who I am. And if somebody comes to me and it upsets me, then it's not the other person. It's my filter and how I perceive it. So on so many levels, I just want to say my experience isn't the same as everyone's. If you're on medications or seeking therapy, you know, just because you learn how to meditate, don't quit. But when you get into a place of understanding where you are, how you feel, and what it is that you want to work on, the process, as long as you stick with it with your whole heart and soul and don't lie to yourself, don't walk yourself down the garden path and, you know, like, oh, well, I can act like this today and then I'll fix it tomorrow. This is a process that you follow every day, every minute, every hour. And the key, the core, is your thinking and your emotions. And I know that because of my past, sometimes I don't have good days, but I redirect those days. I'm going to cancel that, because I may not have good moments, but a whole day, that's pretty, you know, that's a far stretch. There's so many beautiful things to refocus my thinking on that I continually work at it. If I know that that energy's there that's going to dip me down, that's when I more so purposefully listen to music that lifts my energy. That's when I listen to podcasts. That's when I listen to things that inspire happiness. Maybe I'll just pick up a coloring book and lay down with one of the kids and color. You know, it's like you can redirect your thinking. You can redirect your emotions. And meditation is the key to the healing process. But diligence, self-love, honoring yourself, and, you know, most importantly, don't look backwards to go forward. Because, you know, so many times in the healing, they've said, oh, you got to go back and you got to go through this and you got to go through that. And it's like, really, what you should be doing is focusing on today, here, and the moment. And, you know, when there are things that have happened in the past and you do need therapy and you do need to talk through it, you know, I would say listen to your intuition. Make sure that you have a therapist that is leading you in the right direction. If you don't connect with them, get a different one. Medication, sometimes you have to have it, but it's not a lifelong sentence. There is ways to pull yourself out of it. If you really want your life and your life really is worth it, like, I promise you, you're here for a reason. You're very special. All of us souls are so special, or we wouldn't even have opted to come here. This isn't like a Russian roulette game where it's like, okay, a soul is born and now you have to decide if you're going to be good or bad or go to heaven and hell. It's so much more meaningful and deep than that. We are all going to have an incredible experience and take that with us into our ascension. And the key is joy and alignment, and most importantly, self-respect.
Awesome.
Well, I'm going to intervene here. Some of the things, before you say anything, Al, before I forget this, some of the things you said I have applied, like, and Al knows God is the ultimate for me. That's it. I mean, there isn't anything higher. There just isn't anything else. And for a lot of people, and I talked to the guy that cuts my oil, he took care of some stuff for me around my house today, the lawn and that, and we were talking about that. And we even talked about Jesus, and he looked at me and he said, "Do you believe in Jesus and God?" And I said, "Absolutely. Jesus came to me. I saw Jesus, of course." And he looked at me and he said, he came up to me and he said, and I've known him for a long time, maybe 8 or 9 years. He came up to me and he said, "You know, I feel the same way, but I've never seen him." I said, "You don't have to see him. You don't have to." But some of the things you said, Lorena, about, you know, meditation, which you and I have talked about, that I do, and Al, of course, is a big believer in that. And Al, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to say a few things. So go ahead, Al.
So, Lorena, how different is your life now compared to what it once was?
I'm free. I'm free. I was my own prisoner. I was locked into a cell with my own thoughts and my own fears and my own anxieties, and I was terrified. I didn't want anyone. I was ashamed. I didn't want anyone to know who I really was, and so I spent a lot of time alone. I mean, I've always been a really loving person that gives my heart, but at the end of the day, I would go home alone and be alone. And, you know, it was actually so bad, though, sometimes, even if I went out with my daughters, if somebody walked by me that, if somebody walked by me that looked or smelled like somebody from my past, everything would be over. I'd have to take my kids and go home. And I would just sit in my room and shake and cry. So, yeah, that's a prisoner. Now I understand it. I forgive the people of my past because I so understand that without that experience, I wouldn't be who I am. And the person that I am now is a person who wants to help people. I'm not a guru. I'm not this incredible, special world speaker. You know what? I am a girl who was so incredibly broken. The thoughts of suicide crossed my mind multiple times every day since I was 8 years old. And I am now a woman who has a giant toolbox full of all kinds of wonderful, loving tools to offer anyone who is interested in repairing their life. I don't profess to have answers to everything. I don't profess to be this incredible healer, but I'll tell you what, I'm very focused. I'm very good at what I do, and that's because I believe in it 110%. Well, if you could maybe, I don't know, if you can even put a number on it, but I practice what I preach. God is the focal front of everything in all this beautiful creation. I live my day every day with appreciation and gratitude. I'm so grateful for my past, and I'm grateful for those who transformed me, or I should say who prepared me for the great transformation that would happen, actually not even till I was in my late 30s. I would not be, I believe, like 38 years old before I could even look in my eyes in the mirror and say, I love you. And the day that that happened was June 7th. That was June 3rd, 2006. I will never forget that day. And, you know, I just, there was a beautiful spiritual transformation. I call it, it's a STE, a spiritual transformative experience. Al Diaz was there along with multiple, at least over 100 healers. And from that day on, I make sure I make it a point every morning when I get up to look in the mirror and greet myself and say, hi, I love you. You're going to have a great day. And I appreciate that God is going to shine through me, through my smile, through my eyes, through my words, through my touch. And I'm definitely, I notice that when I make a difference in other people's lives, it just adds to that happiness and that joy that's within me. So if you ask, what is the difference between then and now? I would say I was dead. I realize now that all those years of wanting to die was only because I was already dead inside. But now I'm alive. I'm an amazing garden, which is full of beautiful flowers and beautiful aromas. And I'm there for anyone who wants to pick one of those flowers and enjoy it and take it home, because I'm free.
Something, Marina, that
such
you
an,
said
such
right
an
now.
Outlook, Al, you know, you follow this lady so much. You talk, you two are like two peas in a pod. And I, you know, because I've heard you, Al, before many times, and, you know, love yourself. I have an issue with that a lot of times. It seems like for me, I love myself when I'm doing for others. I know that just, it's backwards.
Right.
But it stems from...
No, it's not backwards.
When I was a little girl, Arena, we talked about this. I was alone. I just went about stuff. I didn't ask anybody. It was like I was a grown-up but in a little person's body. And, but, you know, I didn't really do a lot for people then, and somehow I didn't fall into it. I don't think that we fall into things. I think the door opens up, and we open the door, we go through it, and there we are. And then I just, maybe I saw other people. I didn't really learn it from my mother, maybe something from my father. But isn't it strange how you transform as you get older? And you were talking about your children. My son, and you know this, both of you know this, he is the most wonderful man I could ever have asked for a son. He is so much like me, so much, and he's good, all kinds of goodness. But you think about it, though, how many kids out there have great parents but just don't turn out great? They just lose something in the process, and I don't understand it. I don't know if it's because they're from a broken home. That could be it. You have to have that dual parents. But I didn't have that, you know. But my story is totally different. My story is just very unique. But Lorena, you know, it's kind of backwards. I love myself when I do the most for everybody else. I shine. I really do. It's like I step into somebody different. And I like doing the magazine. I've said this before. Al knows. When I do that, because I'm doing it for people that are, you know, some of them are famous, and some of them, you know, they all have publicists. They're all authors. They all have written books and all of that. And I do it because I want to make them look really good. I that's important to me. So that's how I love myself. You said no, it's not backwards. No?
No, it's not backwards at all. And I wanted to say something about when you said, you know, well, why is it that everybody's so different? Is it because they come from good homes or broken homes? Or, you know, in my journey, I find that you cannot really judge why anyone is a certain way, because in reality, we are so independent. And, you know, the one thing that is formed in our families, unfortunately or fortunately, is our belief system. And a belief is only a thought you continue to think. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It just means it's a thought that has been introduced to you and now you own it. Or you've searched deeply enough to know that, hey, this feels better to me. So that's how belief systems change, is by being open to see if the things that you're thinking are really true or not. And the reason, or I would say the best acknowledgement of that is, the thoughts that you're thinking, are they making you happy? Are they bringing you joy? Because if they're not, the reason why they're not bringing you joy is because that thought is so far from the real you. And the real you is the pure expression of God. And the God that I know and the God that I love and that I'm connected to does not hold any judgment whatsoever and loves unconditionally. Now, loving unconditionally, that's so much bigger than just the word that you hear. So in reality, I believe there is no reason why. I don't think it's a black or a white or a girl or a boy or any kind of sexual reason why people are the way they are. I just feel that we are all independent and we all have an opportunity to either think positive thoughts or think negative thoughts or to live by example or not. I mean, you know, parents, sometimes if a parent's not a really great parent, they'll say, wow, well, that child ended up being nothing like their parent. Or you may hear, oh, that child is exactly like their parent. So, you know, there's no psychology to weeding it out. I think it's all really a very independent thing. And yes, we, you know, from our experiences, we kind of gather that energy, which creates who we are. But if you really try to dissect it, I don't think that it can be done that way because it's just so all across the board. But as you're saying, you know, there are so many more reasons if you really dig deep into it of why it feels better to help other people. But I want to say this is, for me, there was a difference between me being there for people giving and helping and, you know, in my words, loving them than it is now. When I did things for people most of my life, I did it because I didn't feel like I belonged. And I felt that if I did good things for everyone that I was around, it would make them feel like they belonged. And I know how horrible it is to feel like you don't fit in or belong anywhere. And I never wanted anyone to feel that way. So I would always go above and beyond for people. But now my perception is I love myself so much. And you know, I can't even, I never thought I would say that, but I love myself so much. And I honor this incredible spirit that I am. I'm just, even when I went back and read my whole book, I cried for 3 days. And to write a book is one thing about yourself, but then to read it in a full entirety, I had a whole new respect for me. I thought, oh my God, this girl, I can't believe she made it through this. She's so amazing. But it never clicked before. And now that I'm able to see myself as something other than a victim, I see myself as a warrior. I have so much love for that little girl. And I have so much admiration and respect for this woman. And now that I'm in a place of owning who I am and feeling this incredible love and joy for myself, when I do things for others, it's on a whole different level. I mean, it's coming from my soul. It's not coming from me not wanting them to hurt. It's not coming from me feeling guilty. It's not coming from me, that victim, that everything is always my fault, so I better make it right. It's just two absolute complete energies. And so I feel now when I give myself to someone, whether it's counseling, whether it's helping them move, whether no matter what it is, it's different because it's coming from my soul. It's not coming from my humanness. It's coming from that energy that's connected to God. And that's why I know that God is an all-loving God and not non-judgmental. Because once you tap into that energy, there's no other energy. There's no negativity. There's no nothing. There's just this pure, wonderful light and bliss. And it's not something you can see, and it's not something you can touch. It just automatically exists in your heart, and it exudes, and it attracts beautiful people in your world. Years ago, I used to say, oh, my God, I'm a psycho magnet. If there's a psycho 10 miles, they're going to find me. But you know what I say now? I'm an angel magnet. I am an angel magnet. I just seem to attract the most incredible, beautiful people all day long in my job, in the church, in my home. And, you know, hey, energy, electromagnetic field. If you change your vibration, you all of a sudden attract. And remember, your vibe attracts your tribe.
No,
so, Al,
Irina,
what are your thoughts on all this? I got to hear from you here.
Okay.
I haven't heard from you.
Okay, so I'm going to bring up something that Lorena just said a few minutes ago that really, really, that I really loved and actually almost turned me on a little bit. So most of humanity, when they go through some dark moments in their life or they relive their past experiences and start thinking, why me? Why did this happen to me? Or they did something and now they have a regret, and they can't let it go, you know. And as I was listening to Lorena, she said something very amazing, and I totally agree with it because that's how I live my life. And that is, those experiences is what made me who I am today. And
yeah.
And as I tell my clients and my audiences is, you know what? Grab the wisdom from those experiences and bring it forward and leave the drama behind. Versus what most of humanity does is relive those experiences and dwell in those experiences and stay in those experiences, and yet they can never evolve or move forward because they're always living in the past. So I thank you, Lorena, for bringing that up, because what has been for you is amazing, and what I suggest for all the audiences listening now is don't dwell in the past. Bring forth the wisdom of those experiences and utilize that wisdom to move forward and evolve forward. Because if you stay in the past, if you stay in the drama, if you stay in the pain, if you stay in the hurt, if you stay in the struggle, that's where you're going to remain. And guess what happens? You're going to recycle it over and over again until you move forward.
Very well said, Lorena. You say you're addicting, Lorena. You are, you know, because you have so much information and your experiences are so awesome. Now, everybody that's listening, they're thinking, oh, yeah, she sounds really good. But you have to apply it to yourself, everybody that's listening. I mean, not everybody has a life right now feeling like Lorena does right now. I mean, and not everybody is like that. But if you listen to her enough and you have the opportunity to have her work with you, she shows you just the way to do it. And it's simple stuff. It's not complex what she says at all. You know, I think, Lorena, too, your experience in the church, did that help you a lot?
Wow. Absolutely.
Good question.
Boy,
huh?
I've gone through so much growth in that church. It helped me immensely, I would say, absolutely. And I've gone through so many different versions of who I am. I've been at this church for 17 years. So I would have to say from the beginning to now. Now, I didn't go to the church to be a reverend. Remember this. I didn't have a goal to be a minister, let alone a pastor. But my deep search for healing is what led me there. And when I started going to the church, I thought to myself, oh my God, this is so much cheaper than therapy, and I'm getting so much more out of it. But it wasn't, I'm not talking about church on Sunday. I mean, church on Sunday is great. I'm talking about classes. I'm talking about being there three times a week, taking every class available. Why is this, this, and that? So, yeah, it's been incredible. And, you know, I've watched the church change right along with me. And, you know, I'm not speaking from ego. I'm speaking from it is what it is. And I'll tell you right now, me being at my top peak best, I look at the church and I'm so proud it's at its top peak best, only for now, because it's only going to go better, 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 and better. And, you know, Al hit it right on the head. If you're looking in the past, if you're dwelling in the past, then your future, you're not in the present. You're in the past. And if your present sucks, if your present is hard, and if your present is not bringing you joy, if you're waking up and you're still in turmoil about the day before, and if you're going to bed and you're still stressed out about all the things in your life, you're not living for today. You are not living in a joyful place. Appreciation, gratitude. You know what? If it's so simple, it can be as simple as this. Hey, I may not be where I want to be, but I sure in the hell am glad that I'm not where I used to be. And I know that I'm moving in the direction that's good for me. And I know that opportunities are available for me at every door. And are those doors open? Yes, they're already open. But it's me having the ability to acknowledge when I can walk through a door and when I don't want to walk through a door.
And do you want to walk through that door? That's what I tell everybody.
Absolutely.
Look at everything that comes
to you. And
you know
what?
And if that door opens, like that job, and you, oh, no, I don't want to work in that environment, well, then don't go through that door. You should know what you want, especially I always relate to jobs. Spirituality is kind of tough. I was a little Catholic girl. I went to church every morning just to get a ride to high school because it was so far. But Lorena, I'll tell you something, and now knows this. Finally, I sat in the church and I looked around all this gold, right? And I'm thinking, why do I have to come here? God, isn't God at home? I started questioning it, and I was probably in the 10th grade. And I started to question. Remember, I had all the sacraments as a Catholic girl, all of that stuff. Yeah, afraid of the nuns and all of that. I thought that they were, I didn't even know what I thought they were. Had I known, they're just women dressed up in their stuff. You know, they're followers of God, and they're preaching what he wants them to say. But I'll tell you something. I don't know if it brainwashed me or what. But as soon as I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, God, I can pray to God at home. I can talk to him at home. And as soon as I did that, I was good to go. It was amazing. It really, really was. And,
you know what, Natalie? Going to church on Sunday doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car.
That's right.
So,
that's right. But you know, you don't. I was like brainwashed. So you see, I came from this environment where this is what you do. And you know, I wasn't baptized a Roman Catholic. I was a Greek Catholic. So to get the sacraments as a Roman Catholic, oh, my mother had to. Well, she was prepared. She was tough. She went to the father. That, you know, the head of the church, and I heard her. I was sitting in the hall, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm never going to get First Holy Communion the way she's talking to him. But she was determined because of what she didn't have, and she did do that for me, but I was fulfilling what she wanted, and I didn't realize it, probably not until today. I was doing what she always wanted for
herself.
I want
to ask you something. Do you think that she felt that your behavior was a reflection on what a good Catholic woman she was? I'm just asking you this out of the blue because it'll help you to understand maybe where she was coming from. Maybe she wanted to have that higher appreciation and higher look.
Well,
and
you,
so,
know,
you know,
you're probably right. She probably saw something in me that she didn't have and didn't have the chance to have as at my age, because she was the oldest of 10. Came from an Italian family, big family, and she had to go off to work. That was it. No high school, no nothing. You know, you go to work. And I think in a sense she grew up very resentful, and I don't know, in the way she treated me, but I survived, and I survived very well. I mean, but I can't say it was because of her. I really can't. It was because of me.
Right.
It was because of my thought processes. She may be strong. You know, she was strong.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense, you know, maybe I always kind of resented her growing up, because she wasn't the mother that I really wanted. But I had other mothering along the way.
Well, what she gave you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the way I look at the people in my path.
She wanted me to stand firm. Yeah, she wanted to be a lot like her. And in a sense, I guess I was. She was born ahead of her time. She could have been in politics. I mean, she had worked at an insurance company. She was known as the godmother, quote unquote, of the insurance world. Mary did something for you, you can bet she's going to call in that marker and you're going to do something for her. That's how she was. She was tough. But I was never like that. And I guess maybe I feared her. I don't know. She was tough. She was
can
a
I
tough
ask
woman.
You a question?
Yeah.
If you go a little bit deeper spiritually and say, well, now, if I chose my parents, why wouldn't I have chose a more nurturing, loving mom? And I'm going to tell you from a spiritual soul standpoint is because right now you're living the opportunity that her being your mother has given you. And that
exactly.
is now you have to look even deeper for your own self-love. Because she didn't teach you how important you were and how amazing and how, but most importantly, she didn't display that to you within herself. So from a spiritual standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. It, you know, maybe this was your journey. Maybe it's like Natalie has to look really deep to see how beautiful and amazing and astounding you are. Now, you can hear that from everyone around you 100 times
I do.
A day. But
Al
until,
tells me that all the
but
time.
But until, but it needs to come from your mouth to your ears. In other words, it needs to come from your heart to your heart. Now, if you can see that from a spiritual standpoint alone, then you should always be saying, you know, I'm so thankful that my mom was just a tough cookie and did what she did, because there's multiple things she gave you. This is what she gave you. She taught you how to be a really hard worker.
I never thought of it that way, Lorena. Thank you. That's true.
Yes, I know. You are
true, because
so good at what
she wanted me to be, to stand on my own in her own way. She had to do that, but she wanted me to do that for myself. And she did it even as I, you know, got married. She got mad at me on my wedding day, but she didn't really. There were things that she just could not do for me. She didn't know how to show that she loved me. And I got, like I said, I got it from other, quote-unquote, mothers that I met along the way. Lady across the street, another Italian woman who just took me in. You know, I followed her around. I learned how to bake. My mother didn't teach me that. That lady went to my conferences at school, at grade school. My mother would not leave work
That's
early.
So
she would
beautiful.
Not. But I found, and I don't want to say a replacement, Lorena, but I found extra a resources, especially this lady. Her name was Tommy, Thomasina. I will never forget her. How she took me in. She had a daughter and a son. And I was like one of her own. Wherever they went, I went. Because I think she saw that was like another mother that was in my mother's place. Because my mother had other things she needed to do for herself to accomplish what she wanted. And she did it.
Wow.
She really did it.
Can I tell
but
you something
yeah.
that's going to kind of blow your mind, Natalie?
Mm.
I told you we have so many things that are similar. So many things. Do you know that I had a stepmom that was the most amazing woman of my entire world. Unfortunately, I only had her for a short time when I was three. And the things that she showed me, I still carry to this day. I love her so much. And her name was Tommy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know.
Yes.
Crazy, right?
We are
the
parallel. Somehow we're parallel, aren't we?
I'm telling you.
Yes, we
can't
are.
Make this stuff up, honey.
Oh, Al, you've just, you know, you're just surrounded by two beautiful ladies. What can I tell you?
Well, I consider myself very blessed, so that's good.
There you go. Yeah, well, yeah, we do. And but isn't it funny? Well, hopefully for the people that have been listening, I mean, time is not up, but they, if they could relate to my life, and standing on my own was really good because all it did was allow for me, when I was home alone so much, was allow my angelic help that I got and everything that I got for me, and it even affected me later on in my life that I had the ability to see and actually, you know, have things come to me, especially when I almost died. I mean, if I told you what I saw, you'd fall off your chair. And so I think that allowed me to be more open. Had I been, maybe had a mother who was like, you're going to do this and this and this, I mean, I was really left on my own. She knew I was a good girl. She knew, you know, then you didn't lock your doors. Oh, and I lived in Detroit, of all places. You didn't have to worry about anything there. It was the greatest place. And so she knew, you know, she's going to be fine. So I guess I have been looking at her differently, trying to understand what she did, because she always seemed resentful of me. Maybe she saw in me what she didn't have or couldn't have, or I don't know. She never told me.
Maybe
she was the strongest influence.
Maybe she resented that she couldn't be the mom that she knew that you needed, and she didn't know
probably
how to say that or share that, you know?
Right.
And that guilt does
things to
people.
She had this inner conflict.
It makes her mad.
Yeah, being the oldest of 10, she wanted to strive and get the things that she never had, and she did it. But
do you think also that being the oldest of 10 made her have more responsibility than a child should have ever have had, and so it automatically made her, you know, you can try and figure it out for whatever it's worth, but you know what, in the end, you're not going to figure it out because it's your perception, her perception, your perception. Everybody has their own filter. Everybody's going to see things in a different way. The only thing that you need to worry about, my dear, is how you feel about you. And the rest will all just fall into place. You know, she did the best with what she had. And unfortunately, sometimes those aren't the best. But you know what? If you want to talk about unconditional love, then if you really want to talk about unconditional love, then we really can't judge people, even those people that have affected our past. Now, if they've done something we don't like or whatever, get out of it. Don't dwell on it. Don't think about it, because you're bringing your past to your present. But the point is at the end of the day, we are all just spiritual beings having a human experience. And, you know, I used to say it's not easy, but I think that once you figure out the trick of it, it is easy. And believe it or not, it's simple. It's joy. It's love. That's it. It sounds so cliche and so ridiculous, but you know what?
Take
it past the word. Take it into the heart. Yeah, take it into the heart. All you have to do is redirect your thinking. You know, today I'm going to tell you honestly, I have a really hard time with Mother's Day. I am not a big Mother's Day person. I am not a big, I'm a pastor of a church, and I am not an Easter person. So sometimes I do have to fake it till I make it. But for the most part, I'm honest with myself. Mother's Day is hard for me. My dad was married 9 times. He told me my mom was dead when he kidnapped me. And I didn't find out until a year after he died in a plane crash that she was actually alive, and because she had contacted me. Talk about a shocking phone call that was. But, you know, like from all the things, and here I am, I'm practicing what I preach. All day I just felt a really low dip, and I'm like, oh, it's the Mother's Day thing. See, I'm allowing my brain to connect with my emotional guidance system. So all day I just kept thinking how much I love my big crazy dog. I got a big Doberman. He's my angel. He's an angel. And thinking of him brings me joy. So every time I would start going to that pity party or thinking, oh my God, here we go, we're dipping down, I would just think of incredible things. I actually like food a lot too. So I think about my dog, I think about homemade potato soup, delicious, buttery, creamy potato soup. See, it's like, it's that simple. In order to get out of what would possibly... It is.
It's
now, you can't think two thoughts at the same time. You cannot think of a yucky thought and a good thought at the same time. It's one or the other. You have a choice. I have a choice. We all have a choice. So for me, instead of thinking about what I did or did not have, and then I just go back to, okay, potato soup, dog, and then I think, oh, my God, I have everything to be happy for. I've got all my kids and my grandkids, but, you know, it's that old. And I don't like the word brainwash. I think brainwash is a very heavy word. I think what I would like to say is the belief systems that were created in me through my upbringing, I am now I'm searching through them, and I'm removing those belief systems that create a negative energy within my being. Now, a belief is only a thought I keep thinking. So therefore, when I change my thoughts, I will change my belief. And, you know, like I said, it's a work in progress. But creamy, delicious potato soup, my beautiful dog, my wonderful kids, my home, wow, that's so much better to think about. And I know as soon as my emotions and my energy dip down, change the thinking immediately. It's not about removing a thought. You can't remove anything. Nothing, you don't remove things. What you do is you put something in place of it, and then it simply falls away and you leave it and you don't bring it back up and you don't talk about it and you don't think about it and you just keep moving forward, upward and onward.
So Marina,
what do you think, Al?
I have a question for Marina here. So how do you deal with a person or with people that will come up to you and say, that's too woo-woo for me. I don't get it. I'm buying into that concept. Or they may even say, you're just lucky that you've had scenarios pop into your life all of a sudden. Now, I understand your path and everything you went through, and I applaud you, but now you're lucky because everything's falling into place. How do you address those people?
I tell them, you're damn straight I'm lucky. Absolutely I'm lucky. I'm super lucky because of the law of attraction. I exude joy, I exude unconditional love, and I exude the desire to bring happiness to others. So I am now emitting that energy, which in turn attracts that energy. And I'm going to tell you, if I have someone that says to me, oh, that's not easy, you don't know how hard my life is, and I'm telling you what, you cannot go to someone else's level and help them. You cannot sit there and say, oh, honey, I know it's so hard and I know how you feel and it's going to get better. And no, you can't go to their level. You can't go to that pit of despair and try to help them out of it. If you are a light worker or an energy worker, it is extremely important that you remain in your vibration. Do not dip down to help someone. When someone's coming to you, if you're counseling or just talking, that's when you should be at your peak. You can feel your energy rise. You can feel your chakras come alive, and it's like, here we go. And if they're dipping down and they're having a pity party, you don't need to jump in on that party. Be who you are. Be that strength. And if they want it bad enough, if they really do, then they will start listening and they will start using the tools you give them. If they just want to talk story and if they really want to find out if you are who you are, then it's not going to matter to you because you're going to stay on that same plane. You're going to stay in that same vibration. So my best advice to anyone who has a tough client or somebody who keeps complaining is you will never hear about a healthy person complaining about their ailments. You will never hear about a wealthy person complaining that they're broke. And why is it? Is it because they're wealthy? Well, why are they wealthy in the first place? Those who continually complain they have no money keep attracting the lack of abundance in their life. Those who continually complain about their ailments and their bones and their, oh, but it's a family genetic thing, I can't change it, this is me, and I'm going to be miserable the rest of my life. You know, you can tell the energy. People who, what you focus on is your reality. If you have a couple and they talk about their problems, then all you're going to have is a problem relationship. So I can't stress enough how important vocabulary is. The words that you're saying and the way that you say them is extremely important. It actually creates the energy that is within you and the emotion, which then in turn attracts the experiences that are in your world. We are co-creators with the divine intelligence, as some call God, and through that energy, we attract what comes to us in our world. If you want to know where your real thoughts are and where your real emotions are, pay attention to what's going on in your world, because I can guarantee you, you're absolutely attracting what you're feeling on the inside. And if you want that to change, then you can do it. You can do it. Anybody can do it. We are invincible. We are that absolute beautiful spark of creation that created everything. How can you not be invincible and beautiful and wonderful? The physical body, it'll come and go. But that spirit that's inside, it'll always be there. Always. It's infinity. It never ends. But the information and the experiences that you gather while you're on this earth plane, you will take with you. And you know, when you go alone. So having said that, I have to ask you and everyone else, when it's just you and you go alone, have you done good to yourself? Have you treated yourself good? Have you loved you? Or have you spent all your time and all your energy doing for everyone else and everything else, and now, you know, they're not with you? You're never going to see a hearse with a U-Haul or a luggage rack. You can't take it with you.
I love it. Oh, my God, I love that. That is so cute.
What you got?
You're so right. They're not going to be pulling anything behind.
No. Yes, you're taking you with you. How can you not want to be
you arrive alone
the best
and you leave alone.
You to take with you? Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That is so cute. I got to remember that. Al, you got to remind us of that one. That's cute. I love that. I love that. I want to quickly tell you and Al, my son's dog is okay. Everybody,
oh,
my son's
God.
Dog is a boxer, and she was bit by a copperhead. And so my son, he smashed it to smithereens, but he did that after he got home. But he took the vet to the dog right away. You have to do it within 30 minutes. And the vet, two vets were there, and they worked on the dog. Then they took the dog to an emergency place. They're giving the dog intravenous, and my son just sent me a text. She's snoring now. She's just fine.
Oh, thank God.
So that is a ray of hope. You know, there's always something, and I text him, and I said, she's going to be fine. I said, are you seeing my text? She's going to be fine. I'm a little Google freak. I look up everything. I can tell you that's probably how I got most of my knowledge, and I went on the Internet. And more dogs die when they're bit by a rattlesnake than a copperhead. But we're in South Carolina, and they're really prevalent here now. And I think it's because we've had, you know, the warmer weather. We've had it for years. And the woods, you know, breed them. They just keep breeding. And but anyways, if anybody wants to know, my son's dog, Chloe, she's a boxer. She's fine. So that is good
news. Thank you, God. Thank you, Chloe.
Yes.
Thank you, wonderful vet.
Yes, there was probably three or four of them. Two of them at the vet that we go to, and they're both there, and they both, you know, they said that oftentimes it looks worse than what it really is, and then the dog starts to recover, and I was more worried about my granddaughter. My son, you know, we've all lost pets, all of us, and people. But my granddaughter has not, well, she lost her grandfather, but she has not really lost anything, you know, now that she's a little older and she really understands. And I was a little bit more worried about her because that's really her dog. So, you know, it's life. What are you going to do? You're gonna gain a pet. You're going to lose a pet. It's this, it's that. And that's just how life goes.
You assure her that the soul always continues.
Yes.
And that
yes.
she can still talk. You know, of course, we don't have to go there because the dog is fine, thank God. But
yes.
in the end, you know, I think the biggest thing, missing something, of course, you're going to be sad. But the biggest reason why people fall apart or have fear is because they don't know, you know. So for those
yeah.
who do know about the soul and what happens, it's really comforting to let somebody know, especially when you lose somebody, that, you know what, hey, you can still talk to them. They'll still drop
like
signs.
And Al knows Maya. I talked to Maya Moon, who her and I did the show, radio show, for 5 years. 5 years. I talk to her every day, as well as God. Not in the same breath,
absolutely.
But one after the other, or one before the other. That's what I do every single day. Okay, I need a little help
up there,
Maya.
You can talk to them both.
Right,
Natalie,
I can talk to them. I do.
Natalie.
What else?
Can I drop a bomb?
Oh, yeah, so long as it doesn't do any damage.
Hurt.
Oh, is this your announcement?
It's probably
okay.
a love bomb.
So,
this is an announcement.
Go.
Okay. Huh?
Okay. So both of you guys are going to be surprised a little bit about this. So, Lorena, when I asked you if you wanted to speak in Savannah, Natalie was one of the producers that was helping us put the event together.
Oh, producer.
Pause,
listen to that.
Yeah. As, and,
own
and,
it, girlfriend.
You know,
own it.
Oh,
and
I would own
and,
it. I'd walk
and,
around like I owned it.
So, Lorena,
that,
as you know, that's
okay.
So, Lorena, as you know, that's on pause right now. But for you, Natalie, because I know you've been asking a couple of times.
Yes.
We have I believe I can announce this now. So, on August 3rd, at Lorena's beautiful church. We're going to have our first event, and Lorena's going to host us along with her church, and it's going to be on August 3rd, and we just got the okay, I believe, last night or the night before, I can't remember. And so that's
yep.
why I want to make that announcement, and Lorena's going to be one of the speakers along with Samantha and myself, and we're going to have at least a couple more speakers, and we're in the process of putting it all together as we speak.
Awesome. Well, you let me know ahead of time for Savannah, of course. And matter of fact, I'm going to be there this weekend. My goddaughter is flying in on Friday. Of course, it's Mother's Day. And she doesn't have her parents. And her mother was my best friend. And so every Mother's Day since her mother passed, she flies into Savannah and I spend time with her. It's really strange. She calls my son her godbrother. He calls her his god sister, and it's really, she texts me every day. That's how close she is to me. Every day we talk. Every day. Sometimes they just send each other a heart or something like that, you know, but it's beautiful. So I'm going to be in Savannah because I've always told Al, Savannah embraces you. I love that city. I really do. I don't know why I didn't move there, but my son was here, so we moved here. But I'm not that far. I'm like only 15 minutes from Savannah. So I will be there, and I will be enjoying it, and it's beautiful here. Is it beautiful out there, out west?
It's cold right now, believe it or not, but it's always beautiful.
Yeah. We're in the mid-80s here. We're just like, we got Carolina mornings going on, like 75. When it gets like 80, 85 in the morning, like 8:30, you know it's going to be really hot, really steamy. Now our humidity is going to start rising here. We've got a very early, we had a very early spring, and we're going to have a very early summer, a long one, and which I love because I'm from Michigan originally, like I said, and that's the land of ice and snow. I would never go back there, never. I just wouldn't. Well, you know, I love to go out and sit outside and have my coffee or just sit. I just sit and listen to the birds and, you know, watch the squirrels and kind of think. I'm a real thinker. I don't overthink. Maybe sometimes I do. I think that's probably a little lie. I overthink sometimes. But really, sometimes I get my best thoughts when I'm sitting outside and I just listen. I listen real close.
Can I say something
and,
to you? I want to redirect your it's about vocabulary. And I just want to give you a suggestion. And if you say, I guess sometimes I'm an overthinker, honor that because of your ability to think. I'm not even going to say overthinker. I'm just going to say you're a deep thinker, an incredible thinker.
That's true.
And
Yes, my girl works for me. She told me the left side of my brain is a genius. I'm a genius on the left side of my brain. That's what she said.
My point is
okay,
what you're
I'll
saying.
Okay, I'll own that too. Thank you.
See, now, my point is what you're saying. Even the simple words of, oh, well, maybe I'm an overthinker, that's actually putting a negative energy on your own self.
Yeah, but it's hard to,
it
really
part
takes
of
time
nurturing.
To correct that. Yeah,
it does, but as long as I'm in your world,
life.
I'm going to do it.
Yes,
it's a natural
yes.
response for me. And
yes,
I know
you can call
your
and say,
magic
okay, Natalie, what did you say wrong today? Did you correct yourself and cancel it?
Oh,
it's
see,
just
but
like
you
wanting
didn't say
something.
Anything wrong.
No.
You know,
no,
what
no.
you're doing is saying something that's giving you an opportunity to see how much you can change your words, which will produce more love towards yourself. You know,
oh
even
my gosh,
the words you say, oh, respect who you are. You're amazing. Own it. Love yourself.
Yeah,
say good things about you. Nope.
She's addictive. I'm telling you. Listen to her. She makes you fly up into the air, and you're there, and you've got all
got
of this.
You're so worth it.
You know what's really funny,
Marina,
is that I have like 50-some people that work for me. I have this incredible magazine. I have this great webmaster. He'll sit there and he'll listen, and the three of us took his fiance and myself and him, we went to dinner, and he said, Michelle, he said, I can't even keep up with her. It's true. I mean, I just go get me started on something and I go at warp speed, but you know what? I often wonder though, why did it take so long for me to get here? Isn't that a good
question?
Don't
wonder that. No, because you're going back in the past. No.
You don't read a book backwards. That's true. Yeah.
No, just come to today and don't say, I wonder what took me so long. How about you just say, wow, this is incredible. From where I've come from and where I am now, I can only imagine where I'm going to be tomorrow and the day after because I have made it so far. I'm so incredible. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
It's the things you're saying. You can be nurturing yourself all day long. If I could follow you around for a week, oh, my God. You'd either beat me up or love me.
Oh, no, but it's true, and Al knows it's true. We do that to ourselves. It's almost like you've been, like I said, you've been brainwashed all your life. Nobody told you, me, how good you are. What talent
right.
you have. I wanted to be a nurse, but I didn't think I was smart enough. And my doctor said to me, he said, a nurse? He said, you could have been a doctor. What are you talking about? But you see, I didn't. And in that day and age, you weren't encouraged. Remember now, I got no encouragement. So I had to develop myself my own way. And maybe it was then I started thinking, you're never going to be able to do that. How are you going to ever do that? Well, just watch. I can do it. But I didn't do that
Natalie,
when I was young.
I have a sixth grade education. I completed the sixth grade. I never went to junior high. I never went to high school. Actually, I went to junior high for 3 months. And, you know, I got married. I was a child bride. And after I got divorced with my two daughters, I went back to school and got my GED. So, you know, what you're saying is I beat myself up multiple times for feeling that I'm uneducated. And I, you know, when I go around a lot of corporate people, I used to be in marketing, and I was so embarrassed. I would shine when I was there, but when I got in my car, I cried all the way home. And that was because people would approach me and say, oh, where did you go to college? Oh, where did you go? And I thought, oh, my God, I'm so
stupid. What do I do?
Right. But you know what? Now, oh, no, not now, not this girl. I'll stand right up and say, hey, I've got a doctrine in life. You know, I might not have had the opportunity to have the education that, trust me, I would love to have. But instead, I ended up retrieving my soul. I ended up falling in love with me. I ended up learning how to be happy and have joy. And most importantly, I've learned how to help others have the same thing. So when I stand toe-to-toe with whoever it is, I no longer cast judgment on them, and I no longer care if they judge me. Because the truth is, when I leave this world, what is it? I leave alone. And I'm going to make sure that my soul is intact.
Behind you. I love
that's
that.
That's right, with
I
no
just love her,
and no luggage rack on top.
And no luggage,
I won't have
no
a
luggage on that luggage rack.
That's right, and I won't even have a backpack. So the way the world views me, if I'm not educated enough for you, if I'm not tall enough for you, if I'm not fat enough for you, and I'm not pretty enough for you, honey,
it
doesn't matter, because I love me, and my soul loves everyone. And, you know, it's like I said, it's not all about flowers and sunshine every single day, but you know what? If it isn't, we're making potato soup.
That's right.
That's
all
there
is to
it.
What do I do that's comforting for me? I'm trying to think. Al, do you do anything that's like a feel-good food, or do you do anything like that?
He's a sunrise, sunset kind of guy.
Yeah, he looks at the sunrise in Baja. We know what he does. Just step out on your veranda, right? If you have a view like that, does it make you think that God is present? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this view I have, right? Is that how you feel?
Every single day. As a matter of fact, it's probably today, but I'm going to post a picture like I normally do for your radio show, and I will post it. But every single day, I look at the sunset. And are you kidding me? I have an ocean right in front of me, and with the sun setting into the ocean every single day. And you asking if there's God present? It's present every day. I mean, and when I look out my bedroom window and I see the ocean, you know, when I get up in the morning, that is phenomenal to me. So,
right.
Yeah,
Al, can I ask you something?
Go.
Okay, I want to ask you this, Al. Now, I'm going to go a little bit deeper, and I'm going to say that it's a beautiful thing that you can turn your attention towards that, but what happens when it's not there? Okay, so is it that, because that's a little conditional, and I'm going to explain what I mean. So even potato soup is conditional. So my point is there another thing, another go-to that's inside of you? Perhaps you can, let's see, a positive thought. Oh, my positive thought is that I breathe. My body does everything it's supposed to do without me even asking it to or thinking. That is beautiful. When you find these go-to places, it's beautiful to have something that is conditional, such as a mountain, an ocean, a sunrise, a sunset. But can you take that unconditional love even deeper? Can you find serenity within the center of your being? Can you just go into that God energy and breathe? Can you be unconditional by removing all thought or any feeling and just kind of take a breath and be there and find something joyful that's within you? Because if you can go within and hang on to that, you've released conditions. Now, can you put that sunrise and that sunset in your heart? take the picture away and feel what it feels like. Okay, here's their spirit is guiding me to ask you this, Al. When you step out to look at your sunrise or your sunset, before the sunset happens or during, even more so, during the sunset happening, instead of watching it, close your eyes. Now close your eyes and know that it's happening and know that it's present. Now can you see it and feel it in your mind? Can you bring that beauty in with your eyes closed? Because that's a whole other level. That means that you can do that, experience it, and love it at any time without physically having to be there. Because if you can and you hold that energy and that feeling in you, and then you really do experience it physically, oh, it's a whole other level. And I'm going to explain it on another level. Do you know how many times people work and work and work and they like save up their time for that 1 week of vacation and they think, oh my gosh, my life is so stressful. I'm going to be so happy when I go on that 1 week of vacation. Now, or they may, oh, I'm going to Hawaii. Oh, everything's going to be great when I get there. Now, what if you could find that joy and that peace and that happiness right where you are, in your home, in your work, in your experiences? Now, what if you can find and be that joy and that peace that you're thinking you're going to have when you go on vacation? Now, what if you're in that place and you go on vacation? Can you imagine how incredible it would be to go to an exotic place or just go nowhere and have a week off and already be in your happy, joyful place instead of expecting that to make you happy? Can you imagine how fulfilling if you can go to the place of joy while you're in joy? It's something to think about.
I love it. Actually, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, the place I want to go to is Africa. And I it's funny, but I can sit because I studied it enough. Trust me. I can sit and have in my mind, like before I meditate or afterwards, and I can be there. I can experience it that I'm there. And that's one of the places that I've always wanted to go to because of my love for animals and all of that. But if you can do that, I mean, it's nice. It makes you feel good. And you won't be disappointed because you've already created what it is you have in your head. And but I can't get, I mean, I can see it, but I can't, you know, since I've never been there, there's a lot that I cannot experience. Although I've watched so many videos and so many YouTubes and things on Small Planet and Nat Geo. I mean, I watch all that stuff. I mean, I've got so much recorded on the cats and the polar bears and the giraffes and everything, the lions and all of that. That's a place that maybe that's my Africa when I sit there. Maybe that's what I have, you know. I don't know. Maybe someday I'll get there. I don't know. There's no way for me to know. I'm not looking that far ahead.
If you want to
I would like to go there.
It can happen. All you have to do is put it in your wish box, in your heaven wish. Abraham calls that the vortex. And the way to make it happen is just to have joy and peace and happiness in your heart. You put the request out. It's done.
Right.
Now all you have to do is
remove the resistance. We talked about that man. You and I talked about that last night. I guess I have to put him in there too.
Yes, absolutely.
Uh-oh.
You know, absolutely.
Look out.
No, he's already there. No, he's already there.
Everything you ever want, Al, we talked about this. All you have to do is be happy.
We're just working on your happiness and you loving you. We're gonna transform Natalie into a love herself machine. You watch, Al. We're gonna do this. We're gonna really get her all wound up so that she can't love anything else as much
when
as
this
she
man
loves
arrives,
herself
he won't
in the
be
world.
Able to handle me. No, I just.
Well, he may not be able to already. Just
well,
kidding.
No, he can. Nah, he. You know, we heard Al here and I talked about that the man is afraid. He could be listening tonight, but he's afraid that his life will change. But I would just enhance it. I'm of a, you know, of an age that I can help change your life and make it so much better, and help to make the world better, because that's what he and I could do together. Besides love each other, you know. But I'm gonna, do I write his name on a piece of paper and put it in my little heaven wish box?
No, it's there. No.
Okay,
all you gotta do is learn how to love and be happy. That's it. That,
yeah.
I'm telling you, it makes no sense, but it's the truth.
Al,
yeah,
she
when
told
you
me
have
he's going to just drop on
your
heart,
the door's open.
He's going to be on my porch.
Absolutely.
Or he's going to call. Because emails, you know, emails are not as personal as phone calls. So, and he already knows my voice, and I'm a little chatterbox sometimes. I can be quiet. I can be shy. Can you imagine that? Oh, dear. But if I'm shy, I'm watching, and I'm looking, and I'm getting my ideas about everybody that's, like, say it's in a room of people. I'm not a wallflower, but I'm not this social little butterfly kind of thing, you know, that, oh, hi, how are you? No, I'm not like that. I stand back and watch. And then I gather all
my information. I get in there with both feet, both arms, and all 10 fingers and toes, honey. I am the butterfly.
Oh, well, that's good.
But I didn't use
to
be.
I'm not like that.
The broken me?
Huh?
No, the broken me was not that way, because I was terrified of everybody. I thought everybody was looking at me, thinking I was stupid and ugly. And
I know that happens.
So
yeah.
The healed version, the I love me. It doesn't matter what you think. I love me enough for all of you to love me. So you know that changes things. It changes your environment.
I need to do that
it
tomorrow.
Changes the world.
But I'm really, really
no,
grateful
do it
that
not.
My son's dog is good. Yeah, my son's dog is good. I'm just really thankful. Mm-hmm. And even if, and I'll tell people this, even if you have a bad day, somewhere along the day, you're going to say to yourself, but you know, God, I do appreciate everything you've given to me. I do that. I don't cross off mm-hmm. what I said or what, you know, the way I felt. But I do say that because I don't want to ever show that I'm not appreciative. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, Al tells me about that all the time. You got to look in the mirror and you got to tell, say, boy, I really love you. You're just so wonderful.
But you really
got to
mean it.
I never had to do that before.
Okay, so have you ever put your arms around yourself and hugged you and loved you and
mm-hmm.
patted you and said, I'm so
no.
proud of you? So what are you waiting for?
Well, you know, I have this lady that's listening, and Al's heard me talk of her before, and she always reminds me of all that I've accomplished because she's known me 20 years. And she said, you just don't realize what you've done. How many people do you know have 3 websites, do what you do? And I said, well, nobody that I know. There must be somebody else out there. She says, well, I only know you. And I know how hard you have worked. And you haven't stopped. No, I haven't. No. But you know, you just, I don't know. Is that ego talking when you tell yourself that? Oh, you're so wonderful.
No. Oh, God. I can't wait to jump in. Let me tell you what. Okay. So this is a big thing that I learned this year. This is a huge epiphany for me. I am a hard worker. I have always been a very hard worker. I hit the floor running. And I do multiple jobs. And it just, I just got this epiphany this year. It was all about my self-worth. Do you know that I have always went above and beyond and overworked because I have always equaled my work as my value? And I just barely learned this year. Yeah, we're not very far into the year either, are we? But I just got this on a big level. I work hard because I work hard. My self-worth has nothing to do with the work that I put in. And I cannot believe all my life I have beaten my poor body up and gone above and beyond, lack of sleep, lack of brain cells, lack of everything just trying to do the best that I can do and go above and beyond and be that person everyone needs and be that super mom. I mean, I run a church, I work full-time, and I run a full-time home. And I write, and I counsel, and I teach classes. And it's like, but I love everything I do, and I'm so appreciative of it. But since I learned this, I'm learning to say no. I'm not working overtime anymore like I used to, and I'm not overextending myself. And that was a huge lesson for me, Natalie, because now I'm actually in the middle of learning how to not work so hard or be so overextended. And it's kind of like creates an anxiety within me because I've always been such a go, 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 go. And now it's like I find that the times when I have anxiety, I take a deep breath and I gently pat myself on my heart and I say, you've got this. You're only kind of freaking out because that was the old you. And you're transitioning into the new you. And see, I have to literally talk to myself and pat myself and love myself and nurture myself. And that was never done to me. I was not a nurtured, loved person. I was a beaten, abused, and raped person. That was like my entire worth. So even though I'm in my mid, you know, going to the mid-50s here, I'm learning. I'm a baby when it comes to, like, absolutely loving and caring for myself. I love children, and I love babies, obviously. But now I'm learning to treat myself as I would a child that I care for. And when you said that about the work, it just was like, oh, my God, I just learned that. And my work is not my worth. My work is not my worth. I am worth everything and more. Without overextending, without being that everything for everyone. Because in the end, I need to be that for me. And I can't complain if someone isn't giving it to me. Because how I feel is not anyone else's responsibility. It's my responsibility. But the most important part of what I just said is that I am not responsible for how anyone else feels. Either. And that is just a huge lesson that I learned. And it's talk about taking 1,000,000 pounds off your back when you no longer hold that responsibility of being accountable for everyone else's feelings, you know. And these, anyone who has post-traumatic stress disorder, anyone who has had a troubled past, troubled relationship, troubled marriage, troubled life, these are all parts of the overcoming. It's all part of it. And that's why I love what I do. And that's why I'm thankful for my past and who I am. Because if I was in spirit and I said, okay, I'm going to allow all these horrible things to happen to me so that it will push me into a place of growth so that I can learn about my true spirit and be connected to everyone else, then sign me up. Of course, when I was going through it, there was not a thought in my head like that. It was like, get me out of here. But in the end, I get it in such a big way that I'm so honored that my struggles, my striving to be better, and to gain all these tools, because I tell people, I say, we're all carpenters. We all carry a toolbox. And the tools that I have, they work for me, but they may not work for you. And that's okay. They don't have to work for you. And if I offer you a tool, you can, you know, I'm more than pleased for you to take it. But if you don't want that tool because you have something in your toolbox already, then I'm not offended because I understand. We all have to have the tools we need to operate in the way we do. And, you know, it's just an incredible, beautiful journey. And I know now that my life and my experiences were not in vain. And, you know, Natalie, that's why my search began, because I had to understand why why am I here? Why have I had to go through so much pain and so much self-hatred? And it's like, now I understand as much as my human self will let me understand, but my soul self is so full of gratitude. Oh my God, to watch people's lives change and to know that I was only even a fragment of that. I can't tell you what that means to me. It's like, it just means I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Now, I believe that. I believe we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. I believe that a lot. Every part of my being, I do. I mean, I can't imagine what else I would be doing. Although I find some comfort when I'm in a grocery store, and I do this without even thinking, somebody's looking at something, I'll go ask them, do you need any help? I don't work there. Why am I doing that? I don't know. A lot of times it's these really little old people, you know, and they're kind of looking around, and I just want to help. And they always say, my gosh, you're such an angel walking around here and helping everybody. Well, okay, that's what I am.
How do you feel?
I love doing that.
How do you feel when they tell you that? It makes me feel so good when I do that.
Huh?
Okay, can I tell you that when you feel that feeling, when you feel that emotion, that pride, that, oh, my God, do you know that that, Natalie, is the closest that you can get to God without being there. That feeling is just so beautiful. That's the God feeling.
I believe that. It really is. And I do it. My son will watch me. I mean, he'll help people if they're really, like, reaching for something. I just go, as I'm walking around putting stuff in my cart, I mean, I just, it's instinct. I just do it. You know, and sometimes I think, God, you would really be good in customer service or something like that. But then I think, no, I don't want to do that. I love what I do. You know, I have my monitors. I have my computer. I have my creativity that I can use. I really love that. Yeah, you know, I really, really love doing that. So I guess I can do both. That's all. When I'm out and about, I'll just help everybody I can.
You know what I like the most about what you just said?
What's that?
You're in the present. You are in the present. You're not talking about where you should be, where you're going, where you're not, where you couldn't be. When you just stated that whole thing, you are so in the present. And I'm just saying that because people sometimes don't understand about don't go backwards, be where you are now. But that is a present statement. What is it that's happening in your life that you can be so proud of you? These are the things that you should hang on to. These are the thoughts you should be thinking. These are the emotions that you should be emitting. Because when you're there, oh, my gosh, it's so much better than being on the other opposite end, if you know what I'm saying. And
no,
this is redirecting. You know, if you can just redirect yourself, you know what, hey, I like where I am, and I'm damn good at what I do, and I'm a wonderful woman.
I am good at what I do. And Al's good at what he does, and you are awesome at what you do.
Thank you. So look in the mirror. If you can't look in the mirror in your eyes and say you love yourself, could you do this for me tomorrow morning?
I will.
Please?
I will do it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, look in the mirror, look in your eyes and say, Natalie, you are so good at what you do. You are amazing. I'm so proud of you. You're changing lives. You're putting energy out there. You're connecting people. You are incredible. So you know what? That means just as much as saying I love you, because you're recognizing the beauty of who you really are. You're actually showing energy and contributing to the amazingness that you are. So I will love to hear what comes from that. And I would hope that maybe you might do it more than once. But be honest with yourself. And I know that when you look in your eyes and you start talking about all the things you do, that energy is just going to spark from you. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to have an amazing day.
I will do it tomorrow. Al, are you going to do that tomorrow?
I can't wait to hear.
And I will tell you. You know,
Natalie,
I will.
I do it every day.
Well, that's awesome. See, I don't do that every day. What do I do every day? Oh, I just take care of my cat and
Oh no, you just
my
went
son.
There.
Yeah, I take care of my cat. That's
your
what
energy.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I take care
but
of my cat.
Change,
my baby
that's
boy.
Not all. Okay, so that's not all you do. That's you're like, what do I do every day? I just take care of my cat. Do you see the difference
yeah.
in energy? Do you feel?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, you know, everybody
you
needs to start off the day like
you
said,
monitor.
Look in the mirror. Yeah.
Right. But it's about honoring
yeah.
you and the great
yeah.
things you do and your strengths. Don't focus on what you don't do, and that you pet your cat. We know you love your cat. Focus on how amazing you are and honor yourself for that, and more good will come. And you will just do so much better things. So many great things will come to you, and you're just going to not believe your point of attraction. Will not believe
uh-oh.
What it's going to bring to you. Yep.
There's only one thing I really want to be brought to me, other than
so then you better
my continued good health. That's what I want, my continued good health and
yep.
my ability to lead like I do, to help like I do. You know, so there, I mean, I get people, can you do this for me, Natalie? Can you advance me? Can you? I never say no. Why? Because I know that I'm helping somebody who I trust, and they're not lying, because I've known them for a long time, several of them, and I just know, and it makes me feel good. And I do it, and then I go off and do what I was doing. I got interrupted, and then I go back to what I was doing. It was really easy. It wasn't that tough. So, yeah, I don't really appreciate myself very much sometimes, I guess. That's true. I beat myself
up.
Oh,
no, that's a terrible statement. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know.
Well, we're
going to
work
know.
On you.
Oh, I know.
We're going to work
and you know,
on
Al,
you.
She's going to do this every day. Did you do it? Did you look in the mirror today? I love it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Are you appreciating you? Yes, yes. Definitely.
Well, this has been wonderful. And we will have you back.
If you're interested, my one of three, actually one of four, but it's the one book that's finished. It's Damaged. It's on Amazon. You can look up under Lorena Pyle as the author, or even a survivor story of the damage done by sexual and physical abuse. So this is not a child's book. I would not put it in anyone's hands that are under 18. And the point of writing this is because when I went to the authorities, no one would listen to me or believe me. And I wanted to put this book out to let people know that there's people in the world. You need to watch your children. And
mm-hmm.
lo and behold, the authorities contacted me in 2013. What he did to me holds three life sentences, which he'll never be accountable for. But when the authorities called me, I had 26 chapters of this book written, which I sent to Colorado. They created a profile, got an arrest warrant. From the time that I was his victim, there's been over 100 victims and 5 suicides. So I did get to stand in trial. I got to stand up for the people who couldn't. And I'm very happy to say that in 2015, this man was put behind bars for the rest of his life. Donald Davis will never touch another man, woman, child, or animal again.
Isn't that? That's wonderful news. That justice was served. It took a long time,
yeah.
but it happened.
When the judge is crying, when you're being sentenced, you're going down. And there were so many incredible things that, you know, it was in Telluride where they held court, which happens to be San Miguel County, which is St. Michael, Archangel Michael, the protector. So that's wonderful that it was there. And there were, you know, the judge's name was Dagenhart, like Dragonheart. And it was just,
oh, wow.
There were so many incredible, you know, I know that this was supposed to all happen in a divine way, and it's just It's been one hell of a journey, to say the least, and I'm very excited for the rest of it.
Well, you're
and
awesome.
I'm so blessed to know you.
Well, same here.
Well, thank
well,
you
Well, I'm
going to
end the show here. But we'll have you back, Lorena. You know that. And you know I'm going to be sending you a message tomorrow. I did what you asked me to do. And I'm going to have an incredible day. I know.
I'm excited. And
I know,
I love
I can
you,
hear.
Al. And
I want
to
thank
excited.
All
I
we had quite a few listeners tonight. I want to thank Candy, who does all the marketing. She was in the chat. She's my little marketing gal. She's has magic hands, and she does the Facebook. I do Instagram mostly, but she'll do Twitter and Facebook, and then we kind of, you know, exchange a little bit different things, but mostly I'm on Instagram. I don't do anything else, but have to thank her for all the work that she does. And Jackie's not listening, I don't think, because she's in our chat room, our real chat room that we have. Off the site. She's doing her thing there. So, and thank you, Lorena, for being such a wonderful guest. And Al, as always, you're wonderful.
Thank you for the kind words. Both of you ladies are beautiful also.
Well, we certainly are trying, and Lorena's trying with me. I'm going to be flying so high, this poor man doesn't even know what's coming at him. Look out.
Hey,
look out.
She's coming out of the cocoon. Look out, this
uh-oh,
big, beautiful butterfly
uh-oh.
Spreading her wings.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Well,
okay,
thank
everybody,
you
have
to
a great
everyone.
Evening. Go ahead, Lorena.
And you as well. I was going to say thank
have
you
a great
to
evening.
Everyone.
I love
those
you guys.
Who I don't know. Okay. Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you guys. And as I always end the show, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. Good night, and I love all of you. Have a great week, and we will see you next week with two guests on the show, along with Al. Thank you. Bye-bye.